Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday. We read in the gospel according to St. John, our Savior's words in chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the comic strip, Luann and two of her friends were in an art class. The assignment that their professor gave to them was to draw a multiple series of self-portraits. The purpose of the assignment was to perceive oneself from different perspectives, not just one. How does one see myself from a variety of views? The Gospel according to St. John contains such a series of perspectives, of self-images, self-portraits that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ paints. We're familiar with them. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. And with each of those self-portraits that Jesus draws of himself or paints of himself in the gospel, he not only portrays his perspective of him, but also he describes his perspective of us, his followers. For example, he said, I am the bread of life, but whoever eats of this bread will never be hungry again. He said, I'm the light of the world. But whoever lives in that light will never, ever walk in darkness. I'm the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will live though he dies. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the vine, but you are the branches, and attached to me, you bear good fruit. On this fourth Sunday of Easter, we look to another one of those self-portraits that Jesus uses to describe not only his perspective of himself, but also his perspective about his flock. And so look with me this morning at Jesus' self-portrait as the Good Shepherd. Sheep herding has always been a difficult and honest labor. And it still is today, wherever it is carried out in our country or around the world. Many of our Savior's ancestors were shepherds at one time or another. Abraham, Isaac, and King David were all shepherds. They were constantly on the move, 24/7. They were vigilant, looking for the best pasturage. Eyes always looking for enemies, both human and animal, like wolves. The good shepherd led and fed, corrected and protected his charges. And why did he do that? Did he ask, "What's in it for me?" No, he did it because of his great love for his sheep. Because of his great concern. Because of his empathy for those in his care. Isaiah, Daniel, David, Ezekiel. Many places in the scripture our Savior is described as a shepherd. As one who cares for his sheep. And in the Old Testament, we might consider those descriptions more like pencil drawings of drawing a broad outline of what the good shepherd would look like. And then think of Jesus when he came into the world and said, "I am the good shepherd." With his words, he colors that picture in. He completes that picture and fills it out so that we can see that he is indeed the one that the prophets and David were talking about. Jesus led and fed his sheep during his ministry. Jesus was ever vigilant, always watching out for the enemies of his followers, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, wolves in sheep's clothing. He corrected them and he instructed them. Why? Did Jesus do that, wondering what's in it for me? No, he did it because of his great love for us. He did it because his Father commanded him to give up his life and to take it up again. And that's exactly what our Savior did. Jesus met the sheep where they were to take care of them, to say to them, "Follow me." It's important, however, that we understand what exactly that means. One of the great misunderstandings about Jesus today is that expression, "Jesus met people where they were." That doesn't mean that Jesus okayed their sin. It didn't mean that Jesus met them where they were and said, "Well, you're living in sin, you're doing things contrary to God's will, you're not believing in me for salvation, so, but that's all right. I'm not going to correct you. I'm not going to instruct you. I'm not going to call you to repentance and to faith." No, Jesus met people where they were, but then he called them to repentance. Then he told them to turn away from their sin and follow me. Believe in me for the forgiveness of your sins, of which we are all guilty. What a powerful lesson for us pastors, which means shepherds, us under shepherds of the good shepherd. We absolutely want to meet people where they're at. But at the same time, with God's word, we want to correct and instruct. We want to lead them to know Jesus as their Savior from sin, to acknowledge their sins, and to know that their sins are forgiven by the cross of Christ. By his act, the greatest act of a good shepherd. Jesus draws the comparison between the good shepherd and the hired help. The hired help are in it for the money. The hired help are in it for their own interests. The hired help don't really care about the feelings of the sheep that God has given them. And when trouble comes, when things don't go their way, when things are not exactly how they get their way, or when the enemy comes and attacks the sheep, they run away because they don't really care about God's people. They don't really care about the sheep. But Jesus says the good shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Because that's what his Father commanded him to do. And that's what he was willing to do. And that's what he did. Only to take it up again in his resurrection. In that victory over sin, over death, over hell. By being our risen and ruling Lord Jesus. Jesus said the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Jesus did not act or be a hired hand when it came to your salvation and our redemption. He didn't run away from Satan when Satan tempted him in the wilderness. He stayed and he fought and he overcame that enemy. Jesus didn't run away in the Garden of Gethsemane in the dark. He stayed and faced his enemies and even turned himself over to them so that he could suffer and die on the cross. When Jesus' enemies said, "If you're the Christ, come down from the cross and then we'll believe in you," Jesus stayed on the cross to give up his life for his sheep. For his sheep in Israel, for his sheep in the other sheep pen, Gentiles like us, for the whole world. But Jesus' sheep are those who listen to his voice. Jesus said, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And they listen to my voice." And here we see that description, that reference not only to what Jesus perceives and sees in himself, but also what he perceives and sees in us. And it's really the first quality of the sheep of the Good Shepherd. That we know his voice. That we listen to his voice. And not just that his voice, the sound of his voice, bounces off of our ears. And then we go and continue to do what we want. Then we go and continue to believe what we want, even if it's contrary to the scripture. Is there anything more frustrating than a person when you're talking to them and they're listening to you and then they leave and they forget everything you said and go do what they wanted to do anyway? That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about my sheep listening to my voice. I saw a cartoon the other day where a man was on his knees and he was praying to the clouds. And he said, "God, please speak to me." And in the next panel, the hand comes out of the clouds holding a Bible. That's how the Good Shepherd's voice comes to us. He speaks to us in that word. Jesus came to bear our sin and suffering, and he defeated those enemies, and he tells us that in his word. And he creates faith in that by his word. Isaiah was right. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. St. Peter's right. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have been returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus describes and paints a portrait of his sheep. Sheep who know and listen to his voice. You may be aware that sheep are not among the intelligentsia of the animal kingdom. In fact, my Welsh uncle used to say, if you cut a sheep in half, the front half would run north and the back half would run south. But it's a misunderstanding to think that sheep are stupid. Haven't you people said, you know, Christians are like a bunch of sheep that follow the Bible or follow Christ or follow God. But do you know why a sheep will follow their shepherd? It's not because they're stupid. It's not because they're gullible. It's because they know and recognize the shepherd's voice. They're smart enough not to listen to some pretend shepherd, someone that doesn't want to lead them to good grass and sweet water and a safe sheep pen to protect them from their enemies. They follow the shepherd because they know him. They trust him. They rely on him because his voice means safety and protection and provision. Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus compare us to pigs that like to get down and roll around in the mud. In fact, Jesus tells us, don't be like the horse or the mule that has no understanding, and you have to put a bridle in their mouth to push or pull them exactly where you want them to go. Jesus doesn't describe us as serpents or snakes whose out of whose mouth comes venom and poison of lies and hurtful things that we say against others. He says, you are like those sheep that are smart enough to listen to the voice of the good shepherd and pay attention to it and follow it and ignore all the voices of all the other shepherds who want to lead you astray. We hear Jesus' voice in God's word that keeps us connected to him and to his life-saving sacrifice on our behalf. We follow him as he calls us to be members of his flock. His Father in heaven commanded him to love us and to die for us and to live for us. And his Son obeyed that command. What a privilege that we are called the children of God, John says. And that is what we are. Because the good shepherd knows us and has called us. We all are Jesus' little lambs. Ever glad at heart I am. For my shepherd gently guides me, knows my needs, well supplies me, loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name. Jesus' perspective of him is as the good shepherd he speaks with his voice. Jesus' perspective of us as the good shepherd is that we know his voice and we listen to it. He is the good shepherd whom we follow. We follow his bloody hands and feet that lead us and pay close attention to his voice that soothes us. Amen.